And welcome to episode 10. We are in double digits of All Talk No Bock. I'm Heather.
I'm Charles.
And I'm Reese.
And we are happy to have friend of the pod, and frankly, the man who bashes all of our teams and has no chill. His name is Callan McClurg. He's right there. Say hi, Callan.
Good to see everyone. How's it going? Thanks for the invite. Great. Glad to be here.
We're so glad to have you, and we're going to be happy to debate hot dogs later, and that'll be fun. We all hope you came prepared because we did our research.
All right. I'm about as prepared as I'll ever be.
Okay. That's great. But first, we wanted to start off on kind of a somber note. Obviously, the baseball world lost, I mean, more than a legend this week in Tom Seaver. And he was a pitcher, like, into his 40s. I mean, just an amazing... I don't even need to say his accolades. I mean, World Series champion, no hitters, Cy Youngs, kind of ran the gamut. And it's very sad. And just the franchise, right? I mean, that's what his name is. And there's nothing else to say, really. Yes. And then, so we're going to do a brief kind of news of the week, and then we're going to jump in. The theme of this week is the good, the bad, and the ugly. So we're going to get into all of that stuff. And so, Charles?
Yeah, Heather, three Cy Young, super sad to hear about Tom Seaver, 11-time All-Star. He just looked like a Met. And, you know, it's sad to see, you know, thoughts and prayers out to his family. And for the news of the day, we got, you know, some more interesting news. The trade deadline was this week. A lot of Angels players got dished. Tommy LaSalle went to the A's. Brian Goodwin went to the Reds. And Jason Castro, he got dished out to the Padres. And we basically got a couple minor league guys in return and a relief pitcher. Not very good. Mike Clevinger went to the Padres. Sterling Marte went to the Marlins. They're adding to an already impressive season with that pickup, I think. And the Cubs get Cam Raven. And Miguel Castro goes over to the Mets. So a lot of interesting news this week.
And Ross Stripling. Did you say Ross Stripling?
Yes, and Ross Stripling. What's the Blue Jays?
Yes, he did. Okay. We wish Chicken Strip the best because he didn't have a starting role with the Dodgers. There's too many people. So anyway. Great. So we're going to do the good, the bad, and the ugly today. And we're going to start with the good. And the good is Vin Scully's on Twitter. And we haven't talked about the Dodgers a lot, considering that they're doing so well. But it is a nice bright spot. In an otherwise terrible world of social media that, I mean, it's just so wholesome. What do we think, guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like the most wholesome news of 2020, to be honest. Like, that was really nice to see. The little intro video was super cute. So, I'm excited to have some positivity on social media. That'll be a nice change.
Yeah, I just wanted to read his, what do you call that? Bio heading.
His bio.
So a voice, he says, a voice of Dodgers baseball broadcast Brooklyn and LA for 67 years. Now a rookie on a new adventure in social media. I mean, he is the cutest man ever. And we all love Vin. I guess that's it to say. I mean, he's wonderful.
I think we need some Vin Scully right now, you know, with the Corona going around. I think it's been sad that ever since he left and the world just hasn't been the same, clearly. So we need some positivity back in the Twitter sphere. So I'm glad to see he created an account and he's out there. It's good. Good positive.
Yeah. I mean, it's cute. And frankly, I kind of thought he already had one. I think I was just assumed by most people that he was sort of on social media, but then you remember he's like 92 or something. And like, why would he have social media? But this is awesome. We love Vin. We hope he lives to see a Dodgers championship. Wouldn't that be nice? Reese?
It would be great.
Yeah. Okay, now we'll get to the bad. And the bad isn't all bad. I mean, it depends what perspective you're looking at. But there are some divisions that we're seeing. And we're almost two-thirds of the way through the season. There are some divisions that are, gosh, too close for comfort. And in some ways, maybe a disappointment. The Yankees are – the gap is widening there in the AL East. And then – why are the Twins not running away with it? Like, all these confusing things.
Episode 3, I told you the White Sox were going to be sneaky this year. They were going to run up and take that division. And right now, they're half a game back. So, I mean, I think that they're going to run away with that. I called the Rays last week to win the division. And these other divisions are close, you know. Surprise for the Marlins. They're still hanging around. We've been talking about them week to week because that's such a shock to everyone. I did not expect that. And, you know, the A's are still hanging in there, like we said last week as well. They are running away with the division right now. And I just think that, you know, with their schedule coming up, they got all AL West teams, all their division opponents who are not very good. You know, the Astros are kind of running up against them. You know, they're only 2 games back now, but yeah. I think that the A's, they're going to be solid. They have a lot of easy games coming up. And I think that that pretty much wraps up the AL. Anyone want to talk about the NL some more?
Tori, what do you think? I mean, it's all, every division is sort of like, listen, if the Dodgers were in any other division, and I literally mean at any other, they would be at least 10 games in front. But the fact that the Dodgers have kept it close is telling.
Yeah, I think it's been exciting. I think it's exciting kind of how Charles was saying, seeing different teams that we weren't really expecting, kind of the underdog teams, especially in this like shortened season. So it's kind of, it's nice seeing different names kind of up there that we normally don't see. And definitely disappointing in other senses, because I know we're trying to talk about the NL right now, but got to shout out my Yankees. It's been disappointing. I was really looking forward to this being like their season, and I was confident in them and stuff, but injuries have been hurting them big time. But still in it in that sense. But I think in the NL, we definitely see some close matches. We see Philadelphia is right behind the Braves in the East, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think I'm looking forward to seeing some good baseball coming up in these next couple of weeks as we lean into October.
I mean, can we also just talk about, wow, the NL East is like probably the most underwhelming collection of teams, except very ironically, the Marlins. Like, I think we all sort of expected the Nationals to take maybe a step back, and then injuries didn't help them. But wow. Yeah. I mean, the Phillies have a terrible bullpen. The Braves are probably like, they were so hyped going into the season. And I don't know. I mean, 22-14 isn't bad, but it's certainly, like, I thought they would be close competition for the Dodgers in terms of best record in the NL, so.
I think no one's paying attention to the Cubs either. They haven't been brought up. They're running away with that division. I mean, obviously, not that hard when the second place team is at 500, but, you know, that's probably the worst division in baseball right now. At the same time, you know, they are running away. You know, they're not being complacent or doing anything. They're continuing to win games, and that's what we've been seeing from them. And it's honestly really cool to see that the Cubs and Rizzo and all these guys are sticking together. What's your thoughts on some of these divisions, Callan? What's going on?
I definitely agree with everyone's thoughts already. I think I've said this a lot, guys, is that for baseball's sake, and of course, in a year like this, pandemic shortened season, 60 games, all the offseason banter amongst the commissioner's office and the players, and especially at a time where we all know that baseball is probably losing their traction on the younger audiences and demographics, I think if you're a baseball fan, whether you like teams or not, but seeing San Diego, seeing Miami, Toronto, all being active buyers and adding pieces to their rosters, definitely I think helps for one, you know, with probably parity in the game, but also can attract younger viewers who probably don't get to see the Tatis Juniors and see the Marlins or even see the Blue Jays on national television. I think the Padres were on national TV last Monday in Denver against Colorado. But I think in regards to divisions, though, the AL Central, very fun to watch right now between Cleveland, between Minnesota, the White Sox kind of surging at the right time, getting up in first place where that probably could be where three teams maybe make the playoffs in that division. The AL East, of course, Tampa Bay surprising everybody. The Yankees, of course, once again battling injuries as they have for the past several seasons at probably the worst possible time now with the very condensed season. The AL West, Oakland, I think, surprising everybody. Probably the biggest surprise out of everyone in my mind is definitely Oakland with how this offense just hits and hits and hits, and they have very solid starting rotation. Also have a very good bullpen. I know, of course, they were wiped off the board because of a COVID outbreak this week, but they're back playing over the weekend against San Diego. The Dodgers, of course, everyone's pick for the National League West and also for probably the NL Championship. But San Diego keeping things close, though, keeping that race very close. Colorado falling off. Arizona definitely waving the white flag by virtue of the Bradley trade, the Chafin mm-hmm. trade, a lot of other trades. Like starting Marte, as Charles referenced already. But it's honestly coming down the stretch. And even for a very condensed season, guys, I think you have to be enthused as a baseball fan seeing all these races probably coming down to the final weekend of the regular season in just over maybe 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah, I think probably the Dodgers – I don't want to, like, jinx it. I think probably the Dodgers are the most of a sure thing.
Easily.
And it's not a sure thing. So that just goes to tell you – because they still have to play the Padres, what, 8 more times?
3 more times. 3 more.
Is it just 3?
Yeah, 3 more times here in San Diego, I believe, next week.
Yes. So that's a relief. But we don't want to see them. They're a threat, not going to lie. But yeah, I mean, they beat up the Diamondbacks, not handily, but they swept. A sweep is a sweep. And it was mostly because of Mookie. And yeah, it will be fun, though. I agree with you, Cal, and it will be fun to see this last week, which is coming up sooner than I think all of us think. yeah, wow. Woof. I just want to say really quickly, and then we'll move on. I just want to say, as far, and we'll talk about this in the coming weeks in terms of like playoff threats and stuff like that and what the playoff picture actually looks like. And, you know, regular season team is different than a playoff team, as we know from the A's. But I just want to say that the Yankees are still a very formidable threat, Tori. And like, especially against the A's, like if they match up, I mean, we know the history, and same with the Twins. Mm-hmm. So I just want to say that we can't discount these teams. And also in the NL side, I know the Padres have been getting like a lot of hype and players of the month and players of the week and all. We cannot discount the fact that the Dodgers win every series. I mean, you cannot discount good pitching. You cannot discount like a record of like playoff experience. So I just want to say, for all the like hype teams, the White Sox, the, you know, this and that and the other, let's take a deep breath with it, because we all know that the playoffs are different. And the bullpens matter.
Right. And you can never be too comfortable. Like, literally anything can change in the blink of an eye. So, like, even though these teams right now that are absolutely killing it seem like a shoe-in for the postseason, like, you have no idea.
Sure.
Imagine.
Yep. And especially this year.
There was
a. What was that, Charles?
Imagine for every Stripling start this year, there was a Price start because he opted out. So, imagine if he was in the rotation this year, how much.
Very good point. Very good point. Very David good Price point. Might still opt in, by the way, guys. I think he can do that.
Season. I don't think it's going to slow down anytime soon for them.
Let's not jinx the Dodgers, because Lord knows we wouldn't want to do that. But so we're going to move on to, with that said, we're going to move on to the other day with the Rays and the Yankees.
Sure. So it was the ninth inning, and Chapman was pitching, and he threw at Mike Brusso's head.
Yep.
98 miles per hour.
101, I think.
101. Oh, Kevin Cash, the manager of the Rays, was the one that said that.
Yeah.
His team, in his post-game interview, said, oh, I have a bunch of guys that can throw 98 whenever I want them to or whatever. So he also got a suspension. And that comment was just honestly so unnecessary. He literally admitted to throwing at people before 3 years ago. So just that in and of itself just shows how could he be complaining about Chapman throwing at his players. And then Chapman, of course, says, I wasn't trying to throw. I have problem with controlling my velocity and all that kind of thing, and was trying to petition against his 3-day suspension. But I don't know. Headshots are cheap, I think, but.
It's Bush League.
It's very Bush League. I agree.
I think it's the scariest for the players too. I mean, that's when they can get some serious injuries, anything to the head or to the brain. You know, we've heard stories about people going blind and everything like that. So it could be some serious stuff.
I agree. And even seeing then too, that Joe Kelly earlier this season, he threw out the ribs and he got like an 8-game suspension. And it just doesn't make sense.
No, none of it makes sense. Rob Manfred hates the Dodgers, but we already know that. And and it's also the pettiest BS. So petty. I did not curse. Pettiest BS that I've ever, I mean, both teams are like, no, because both teams, I mean, there's a history with the Yankees and the Rays, obviously 3 years ago, blah, 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 with the throwing at the, you know, body in various different parts of the game and everything else. But, you know, they both were in the wrong. They're both petty. Both managers are petty and the players are petty. And Aroldis Chapman already has a history of domestic violence. So really, this isn't a good look for anybody at all.
Everything that we were talking about last week, they need to have consequences for their actions when they do something wrong. They can't have protection in this kind of scenario, because yeah, this is just unacceptable in my book. And I agree with Callan. You want to hit someone, you're aiming, you know, below the belt or somewhere around like the hip
behind
area.
Them.
Yeah.
Something. Right. Yeah.
And those are the brawls I love to see. You know, if someone gets hits in the leg and that Bryce Harper charge where he goes after the guy, or even Nolan
Ryan.
Yes. Hey, the fights are awesome to see. And that's what baseball is all about. It gets that connection to hockey that Callan was talking about. So it's just a great thing to watch. And with that, we will now move into your take, our take. We'll take a quick break. The Bullpen is proud to announce their partnership with Baseball Monkey. That's right, the industry leader in baseball equipment and team sales is joining forces with the Bullpen. For all your equipment, team uniforms, and training wear needs, contact mail2@teamsales.monkeysports.com. That's mailto:teamsales@monkeysports.com. You can also contact Thomas at 866-673-6425. Make sure to stop by their website as well at http://baseballmonkey.com. Use our promo code BULLPEN15 to get 15% off all eligible products at Baseball Monkey. That's capital BULLPEN15. The expiration date is September 5th, 2020, so make sure to get your product soon. Welcome back to All Talk No Bock. We're getting into your take, our take. We got a super fun segment today. We got Dodger dogs. What are they? Are they a sandwich, wiener? Is it a taco? I don't know. What is it? We got to make sure that we have this down. Go to Callan first. What's your thoughts on the Dodger dog? And is there anything better out there?
I don't know. I think if you associate baseball, you think of baseball and you think other than maybe alcoholic beverages, I think hot dogs are probably everyone's like go-to thing at the ballpark, whether it's in San Diego, wherever you go to ball games. I've been to Dodger Stadium a couple times. The Dodger dog, I think, is a classic, ballpark classic by virtue of it has history other than like the franchise itself, like an actual food menu item has, you know, as just as long as of a history as the team does, and find it in the grocer's frozen food aisle as well. So I, for one, think that a hot dog is a sandwich. Honestly, I really think that it is, to be very frank and very honest.
No, I'm going to stop you right there. Because if we are looking at the layout, like if we're like purely structure of a sandwich, it's horizontal, okay? Like the bread is horizontal. If we're looking at a hot dog, the bun, it's vertical, just like a taco. Is that making sense?
It's not making
sense. No, what are you talking about? Oh no.
Okay, listen.
Put it right here. You got
right. You have a top and a bottom, but we're talking just sides. There is no top and bottom of a hot dog. There's sides.
Depends on which way you look at it, though. If you put a hot dog like this, and some people eat it like that, and then you got the.
No, but if you're doing this, then all the condiments fall off.
No.
On the side.
What about an open face sandwich?
It doesn't matter because the bun is still on the sides.
Okay, wait. You brought a lot to the table, Reese. You came in really hot there, Reese. What about an open face sandwich? Then what do you consider that? Oh my God.
It's not a sandwich.
Okay. Well, Callan, do you have any like solid rebuttal to Reese's like very intense take?
I don't think I have much to offer. I just think it is a sandwich, regardless if it's vertical, horizontal, if it's square cut, triangular cut. I think it's a sandwich.
Callan, what about it is a sandwich?
Also, a sandwich. I mean, I'll get to my argument like last because I have a real education for you guys. But
what's your stance?
Excuse the noise. Yeah, go ahead. Tori.
Me? Sorry, cut out. I was going to say I do have a sense on Callan's behalf for how to respond. that it is indeed a sandwich. Okay. So according to Merriam-Webster,
yeah,
you know, a dictionary, the one that we all turn to, a sandwich is defined by two or more slices of bread or a split roll having a filling in between. And then in Merriam-Webster, if you flip the pages to hot dog, you will also see that it also has the word split roll in the definition. So I believe that a hot dog is a sandwich when it is served in the roll. And for it to be a taco, that's just not even like a debate. Like the taco is just so far out of the ballpark of a stance. So I'm sorry, I can't agree with that one.
But in a sandwich, you don't just have the meat. That's A. B, in a taco, at least you can just have the meat. And while the condiment argument is valid, what do you have to say to the meat without other properties within the hot dog?
You could have a sandwich with just meat in it. You don't need to always fill it up with a bunch of different things.
But that's a gross sandwich. I mean, what kind of sandwich just has meat in it?
A meat sandwich?
A lot of sandwiches. I'm
just brilliant, Corey. Excellent. Excellent work.
Properties of what's included into a hot dog and what's included into a sandwich, a lot of them are the same. You got mustard, you're putting that on your sandwich, jalapenos, that could go on.
But not on top. Not on top.
It doesn't matter. It's either way. You put mustard on a taco, Reese? That's a little interesting take.
No, I said jalapenos. I did not say jalapenos.
You would be fired.
Properties that you're putting onto a sandwich goes on a hot dog. Chili cheese, you know, anything that you want to put on a hot dog is mostly on a sandwich as well.
And a key of a taco is like the fried tortilla. Like it's like a Mexican staple. Like you need that in a taco.
That's true. The bread component is the best. I mean, a hot dog is not a taco. Whoever says that is dumb. But it's not my turn. Charles?
I think I would defend Reese in the shape a little bit. If you look at that, that's about it. But in terms of the overall layout and in terms of what you're including on the hot dog, it's more of a sandwich.
Okay, here's what I'll say.
I think all opinions are welcome here. I don't think
Right. Nope. I don't think there's no wrong answer. Okay, so it's 2020. We're normalizing changing our opinions once we are more educated on a subject, okay? And you guys brought up some very good points defending why a hot dog could be considered a sandwich. Do I think it is? No. But I respect you guys' opinions on the matter because the split roll piece, I mean, that was a good defense. Also, I mean, tacos, like, it is a tortilla, it's not bread. However, if we're being general, it's still a carb, okay? And if once again we're looking at the architecture of a hot dog and the architecture of a taco, it's very similar. And you don't have to have the exact same components, but I mean, it's like the general gist of it is it's like carbs, protein, and then some type of topping, okay? It doesn't matter that like you're not putting mustard on a taco. That could be representative of like salsa. I don't know, whatever, right? So it's the symbolism of like.
So you're saying that the hot dog symbolizes a taco.
I'm saying what?
It's not. You're saying that a hot dog symbolizes a taco.
I'm saying that there are parallels. I'm saying that there are a lot of parallels between tacos and hot dogs.
Okay, well, that was a lot. It's my turn. And for this, I need to put on my glasses because y'all are about to receive an education. So, nobody's dumb here, and I did not mean to call anybody dumb. However, you're all wrong. I mean,
you explicitly called me dumb, but that's okay.
Nobody's dumb here, including Reese. This is what I have to say. First of all, in the matter of the Dodger dog, according to Wikipedia, this is what Wikipedia has to say about of what a Dodger dog is.
Can I preface this by saying that in school we were never allowed to use Wikipedia as a source because it is not reliable. So whatever you have to say just got rendered completely invalid, but go ahead.
We're done. Thank you. The Dodger dog is a hot dog named after the Major League Baseball franchise that sells them, the Los Angeles Dodgers. It is a 10 inch is a lot, pork wing. pork wiener wrapped in a steamed bun. First of all, I am not laughing at the word wiener. Second of all.
So you're fired.
You're fired.
No. Second of all, I just want to say that every time I've gotten a Dodger dog, which by the way, makes me a bad Jew because they're pork and I shouldn't be eating pork. But anyway, every time I've gotten Dodger dog,
alternatives.
The bun has been cold. What is that, Dodger Stadium? It is not steamed. There's no steaming properties. There's no grilling or steaming properties. If you want to get a hot dog in Dodger Stadium, you go to the kosher stand in like the back corner because they have like actually grilled hot dogs. So that's a quick thing. Don't at me, Dodger fans. The Dodger dogs are a little bit overrated. Also, like, if you're going to have like a signature hot dog, have a better bun also. Like, don't just give me like a normal white bread hot dog bun. Okay.
That's like a classic, having it that way. And two, it comes in the foil, and you know when you unwrap it, you can like feel the steam and like everything that was inside of the Dodger dog. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not even a Dodgers fan, and I like Dodger dogs.
Yeah, but is the bun steamed, or is the hot dog itself steamed? You know what I mean? Like, is the bun
probably
steamed?
Probably depends on whereabouts in the ballpark or what stand you get it from, honestly.
But shouldn't they all be like, they should all be the best quality of Dodger dog. Like, that would be.
One would think so.
Second of all, you guys are all wrong in your assessment of what the classification of a hot dog is. Because, and I'm about to blow your minds, the classification of a hot dog is a pita pocket. Hear me out! A pita pocket is split at the top, so it both qualifies under Tori's definition of a hot dog, and it rebuts Reese's argument, or agrees with Reese's argument of what a hot dog is and why it is not a sandwich. So you'd be correct, Reese, in saying that, and you're not dumb. Okay. But it's not a sandwich. It is a pita pocket, because other than you could also put condiments, i.e. hummus, in a pita pocket, or onions, delicious grilled onions. Put that. A pita pocket. You could also put the same thing. Don't put hummus in a hot dog. That's psychotic. But not judging anybody that puts hummus in a hot dog. But you put the ketchup, the mustard, the relish. Don't laugh at me. The hot dog, the ketchup, the mustard, the relish. It is similar in shape, and you eat it in a similar way. We have not talked about eating a hot dog.
Right, you eat it like someone would eat a taco.
Who eats a taco? No. If you eat a taco the way you eat a hot dog, all of the stuff within the taco falls out of the taco.
What if it's a soft shell taco? Also, I have a follow-up question to your pita pocket argument. Would you
consider
a subdivision of a sandwich or its own thing?
No, a pita pocket is its own thing. Because
that's completely separate from a sandwich. I'm just getting clarification.
Yes. A pita pocket is not a sandwich. There's a calzone. You get your sandwich, your calzone, your ravioli, and your pita pockets.
Ravioli.
Yes. Because ravioli, don't even, Reese. A ravioli is basically the same thing as a sandwich, but it's an enclosed carb.
Okay, then it would be like a calzone.
You understand? And you have meat in it and cheese. What?
It would be calzone.
And you put a condiment on top.
It's a calzone then, if you're going to equate it to something.
No, like it's not a calzone, because a calzone is
it's a calzone, but I'm saying it's similar to a calzone. It's more similar to a calzone than it is to a sandwich.
Do a Google Images search when this podcast ends, because my God, a calzone is similar to a ravioli.
That's what I'm saying. Ravioli and calzones.
Yeah, but ravioli is baked differently. Anyway, going back to. Excuse me. Going back to my argument, in conclusion, there is a website that everybody could go to called cuberule.com, in which every carb on the planet, including a salad, which isn't even, it's like basically a simple carb because veggies could be equated to carb. Okay. I encourage the fans to go to cuberule.com, because basically they argue many things. Pancakes, are they sandwiches? Mashed potatoes. Are they salads?
What's happening?
I mean, the whole argument is laid out. Everybody go to cubeworld.com. But in conclusion, the hot dog is a pita pocket. Anybody have a good argument for me? Because so far I haven't heard one.
We got to wrap it up. I'm saying hot dog is either a pita pocket, a sandwich, or a taco, guys. A lot of different opinions out there. We'll try to get, maybe you guys can get to the bottom of it. We'd love to hear your comments on the subject. And
what's your thoughts?
Any final thoughts on the topic, man?
Any final thoughts? Other than the fact that I keep getting texts and it keeps disrupting this podcast. I guess that's it. Well,
thank you guys so much for tuning into that, and we'll take another little break and we'll wrap up.
All right, everyone, and that's it for this week's episode of All Talk No Balk. We'll see you here same time next week.
Yes, we will. And our topic for next week is an interesting one that a lot of us will take us back to our childhoods. Favorite baseball movie. So a lot of us are going to have to review, to say the least. So that'll be fun. And I believe we're having Callan on next week too, so stay tuned for that. We might have new guests as well, and we'll see what happens. But yeah, so that's it. And then, as always, just the normal announcements. Merchandise is coming soon, so stay tuned. We've gotten like preliminary designs, and they look awesome, and we're getting more on the way. So we're really excited about that. If you want to be a part of the podcast or speak to us, you could, of course, DM us on social media, but you can also sign up for Anchor. All it takes is a name, a password, and an email, and then you could leave us a voicemail, and we might even call you back to chat with us here and join in on all the fun, because as you saw today, we have tons and tons of fun. That's basically why we're doing this in the first place. Not because we know anything about baseball. And so, yes, follow us on social media. All the descriptions in the Spotify will be in the description. And then in the YouTube, it'll be at the end of the video and in the description. So we're sorry about that from last week. It'll be in both places. And that's it. Go head to our website to see all the great articles from this week. And it's now Monday, Wednesday, Friday, as I said. So you can be caught up on all the baseball stuff throughout the week. And that's it, guys. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week. And thank you to our co-hosts, Charles and Reese. Thank you to Tori and our special guest, Callan, who just had amazing points, and he was so fun. And we'd have you on every week. You're definitely a friend of the pod now. So thank you, everyone. Bye.
Bye, guys. Take care.
Okay. Great.